What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 34 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, where each week we go over the tech news, some of the stuff that's going on the site, and just have a good time. With me this morning, as always, or at least most of the time, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up?
Not much, man. It's Friday morning.
Yeah, a little bit later in the day, a little bit more awake.
Yeah, we're doing this a little bit later, a few hours later, which is actually a good thing. So.
Yeah. Why are we doing it later today, Bob?
Because I went to a concert last night.
Oh, right on.
Yes.
What'd you see?
Cascade.
Oh, man.
It was very good.
Was it everything it should have been?
It was, yeah, and it was actually a really good venue, too, so I was pretty pumped about it.
Nice.
Yes.
Cascade's got some pretty good stuff.
Yes, but anyways, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out, that helps this podcast keep on going. But we'll jump right in to our reviews this week. We took a look at two products this week. First is a motherboard from Gigabyte. It is the Gigabyte X99 SLI motherboard. And this comes as sort of Gigabyte's second round of X99 motherboards. We've seen a lot of motherboard manufacturers do this. You know, they have their first round of boards, and then they come out and make revisions, and then they have their second round of boards. And this falls into that category. It's a pretty nice board. It's more or less, you know, Gigabyte's entry-level X99 board. So if you want to get into the X99 platform and not spend a lot of money, this is the board to do it. But it still has a lot of great features. It just doesn't have all the bling and some of the other, you know, more high-end features you see on other boards. But overall, it's still a very solid board. Looks great, performs great. Didn't really have any, you know, crazy issues with it. The only real big issue was that there's no power and reset button. There's no debug LED.
Nothing.
And there's no clear CMOS switch.
Oh.
So you have to do the jumper and all of that. But again, this is entry level. This is, you know, that's some of the things that they cut out to save you money. So.
Yeah, I think you got to spend like $5 more and get a reset switch, but eh.
Yeah, I mean it's around $250, which is pretty good for X99. You know,
yeah,
you're gonna be spending a hell of a lot of money on the processor, you know, quad channel DDR4 and all of that. So they're trying to save you money, but still give you a lot of the main features that you would want. So this board, you have SATA Express, you have USB 3.0. You know, you have ability for three and four way graphics card setups using the most bandwidth possible, and you have all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's still got the full power of every other board.
Yeah, and it has their amp up audio solution, which is a good, you know, onboard audio as well. You know, it has pretty much, you know, all the stuff that you would want, and a lot of those extra features, you know, sometimes you don't even make use of them.
So, yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they wanted to do with this board, and I really liked it. It's just a good, like I said, a good overall board from Gigabyte. So nice. If you're looking to maybe get into X99 and you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, this might be a board that you're looking at. And remember, keep in mind, like, you know, all these other boards that are a lot more expensive have all these crazy features, but are you actually really going to use them? Are you really going to make use of that, like, insane, you know, audio? Are you really, you know, do you really need that crazy audio, or do you really need all those lights, or do you really need, you know, certain things? You really have to take into account what you're going to use like what you're actually going to use, you know.
Yeah, even for most people, when it comes down to it, you don't need all the phases that the higher end boards have for more overclocking, because you're just simply not going to do it.
Yeah, that's the big thing too. It's a solid board. I mean, it's they use all high-quality components on all the power delivery and everything like that.
Still has full connectivity as all the other boards.
Yeah. I mean, it has everything that all the other boards have as far as the types of, you know, the types of power phases and everything. It's all what they use on their high-end boards as well. So, just a great, great entry-level X99 board. There's really not much bad I can say about it, so... So again, cool. If you're looking to get into X99, don't want to spend a whole lot of money, definitely check out the Gigabyte X99 SLI. And we'll move from that to a completely different product, which is a pair of in-ear headphones, which are the Audiofly AF78s, which have been out for quite a while now. But they sent us a pair over. So these are just like your typical earbuds or in-ear headphones. And, you know, a lot of people think all of these type of earbuds or in-ear headphones are the same.
Yeah.
But if you have ever had a chance to listen to the difference, you definitely can tell. So I've had a pair of V-Moda in-ear headphones for 4 years now, and they're like my go-to. They sound amazing.
Yeah.
And these blow them out of the water.
Nice.
These are the best sounding in-ear headphones I've ever listened to. They're extremely comfortable. They come with the Comply ear tips, which are memory foam, which is like Comply is a company, and obviously they make the tips. You can actually go to their website and read all about, you know, all the technology that's gone into the ear tips and stuff. And these
is that something you can buy for other headphones as well?
Yeah, you can buy them for other headphones. But obviously they come standard on a lot of headphones now. But yeah, so that's the thing that was a really game changer for me on this, because one, they're super comfortable. You know, if you sweat or if you're something like that, the inner earpiece will actually expand and everything like that.
Really?
You know, yeah, like they're made to do all of that.
So I'm curious, like, if you're exercising or something, you think these would stay in place a lot better than standard rubber tips?
Yes. For sure. And they do, because I use them.
Okay.
I went to the gym the other day.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, way to go, Bob.
I know, I'm changing my life around. Yeah. But yeah, no, I went to the gym and I used these, and yeah, they stay in your ear very, very well. One thing that's really great about the tips too is that they completely dampen out outside noise, which the rubber tips do not.
Nice.
So I really like that. Just super comfortable. But as far as just the headphones themselves, the audio is just amazing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is it about it that you found that was, like, set it apart as far as...
So, you know, when you have a lot of the same headphones, you listen to the same song over and over again. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's songs that you listen to.
Yeah. But,
and then you get a really good set of headphones, and the song... You notice things. You notice, like, little tunes and things like that just sound better. It's a crisp and more clear sound.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to explain. You just really have to experience it. I think that if you're in the market for a really good pair of in-ear headphones, try to go to a store where you can try them out.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to have to do, because the sound is something you have to experience to really, you know, I can tell you about it all day, but until you experience it, you'll never really, you know.
Yeah, you can talk about, oh, well, it's this responsive and that responsive. Yeah. It does, you know, this is the range, but.
Yeah, it's just such a clear sound. And one thing a lot of headphones have done, especially, like, you know, earbuds, is they try to overdo the bass.
Yeah.
The bass is strong here, but it's not overdone and it's not washed out. Which is something that you don't find these days anymore.
So you'd say it's a more neutral sounding?
Yeah, yeah.
More neutral sample. Okay.
Yeah, I really like it. These are just great.
I think that that's especially important in an earbud, especially because the driver isn't necessarily there to create like a super realistic bass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like size wise, it's just simply not going to get it. So it's better to just go with a neutral sounding earbud.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I can't say enough how good these sound. You can tell they're designed for music. That's what they're really designed for, because music sounds amazing on them. You know, these aren't the cheapest. They're around, I think you can get them for $169 on Amazon.
Okay.
Which isn't horrible, but you have to keep in mind too, so the other pair I had was around $200, and I had it for 4 years. The only reason I'm using these ones now is because I got them to review, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, these are going to last. It has a nice braided cable and all of that. You know, so nothing like that's going to break on it. You know, these are going to last you a long time. So if you think about it, if you want really great audio and all that kind of stuff, you know, take the investment, you know, make the investment.
Yeah.
And you pick up a really good pair, and they'll last you for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah.
And they look good.
Yeah, they look good too.
You use them with an iPhone?
I use them with an iPhone. I use them on my computer, you know.
Are they, because it's a headset as well, right?
No.
Those aren't the microphone ones?
Yeah, they do have a
They
do have a version that comes with a microphone. The one that I got to review did not have the microphone, which was fine for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they do have one that comes with the inline microphone that you can use to take calls and things like that. But
yeah. I was just curious because a lot of times the iDevice ones won't, that the feature doesn't work with Android. So I was curious if it did or not, but that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, very great pair of headphones, Audiofly AF78s. Definitely check out our review. One of the cooler products I've taken a look at lately.
Cool.
So we'll move on from that, and we'll talk about a new land center that opened in Pittsburgh, which is where I'm at.
Nice.
And they contacted us and invited us up to check it out, and I did a little article on it. The land center is called Looking for Group. It's in the Brookline area, if any of you are familiar with Pittsburgh. It's like literally right outside the city, right outside of downtown. Really cool land center. They're just getting started, so it's not completely done yet, but it's a nice space. They have 10 PCs there, all with the latest games, all custom built.
Really?
Yeah, so they're...
it's a little surprising, but it's cheaper, obviously.
Yeah, they did it pretty cool. So they used that ASRock M8 chassis, which is the really kind of smaller...
Yeah. I didn't realize it was ASRock. I didn't realize they made a chassis.
Oh, you should. They came out with that a while ago. But anyways,
not gonna lie, I don't pay much attention to them.
Yeah. So, you know, 10 gaming PCs. They have these really. The thing I really liked about this is, you know, I worked at a land center here years ago, and I've been to pretty much all the ones that are around here or that have opened. And the one thing that these land centers don't do is they skimp out on the chairs, which you know, that makes something, you know, business-wise, that makes sense. But all of the chairs, the computer chairs, the console chairs, they're all gaming chairs. Nice. So if you're going to be sitting there for hours, you're going to be comfortable, and that's the thing. And that's obviously going to bring them more business because you're paying by the hour to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're not comfortable, you're going to want to leave.
Yeah. So... they have 10 PCs. They have a console pod, which is 4 Xbox Ones and 4 PS4s, all with their own displays. So if you want to do like team games or something like that, you could do that.
Oh, I'm looking at the picture. Is it back to back? Ones on one side, ones on the other?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you have PS4s on one side, Xbox Ones on the other, and then they have 2 other gaming sections. They have like one that's in the front of the room. They have like a Steam machine there. They have a Wii U. They have an Xbox One. They have like, you know, but that is more for like family style games or arcade style games,
and like a family party or something.
Yeah, and then they have another one on the other side too. So yeah, it's a really cool spot. I believe it's $4 an hour, which isn't expensive at all.
No, I expect more.
I think it's $3 every hour after that. And I think I should have to go into the article. I can't remember. All day, I think, is $20 or something like that.
Yep, that's what you got.
Yeah, all day is $20, which isn't bad at all. $10 for 3 hours. You know, so if you don't necessarily have the type, you know, you don't have an Xbox One, you don't have PS4, you don't even have the greatest PC, but you can go to this place, you can play some games, you can hang out. I'm sure there's be other gamers there. You can probably meet some people. You know, this place literally...
be a little more social.
Yeah, this place literally just opened, but they're going to have some tournaments and all of that. They also have a co-working space in the back, which they're kind of just building out now. So, you know, it's just cool. I love these, you know, I love stuff like this opening, especially in the Pittsburgh area, because we don't have a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
But it's just cool to bring people together to play games. You know, and they actually have a board game set up too, which is actually kind of interesting. You know,
it's pretty big now though.
Yeah, so they're catering to pretty much all types of gamers, whether it's PC, console, board-type games. They're also going to be doing, like, learn to build a PC, learn to code, learn to do, you know, all they're going to have a lot of stuff coming up.
Just keeping people involved.
Yeah, keeping people involved and everything like that. So, again, it's brand new. If you are in the Pittsburgh area, definitely go check it out. You know, spend an afternoon there, play some games. You know, the guys who own it are really cool. I talked to them, you know, when I was there. And they showed me around and everything. So definitely worth checking out.
Nice.
I
think that it would be really cool to run a place like this. But you said you worked at one. Yes. Would you ever want to run one?
It wouldn't be bad. You know, the one that I worked at wasn't really managed well.
Okay.
And they didn't do things correctly, I would say.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But sometimes it's a lot of babysitting, too. You know, you have kids come in and, you know.
make sure they're not, like, breaking things.
Yeah, but I mean, it wouldn't be a horrible thing to that be your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
you think they make money?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, they had a Kickstarter to expand and everything.
Okay.
Which was like 171% funded or something like that. Cool. So,
obviously there's a market there then.
Yeah, there is a market here. The area that it's at, there's nothing like it around. And there's no co-working in that area either.
Gotcha.
All the co-working is actually over by me. So yeah, just a cool place. Nice. You know, if you have kids, or, you know, that's a cool thing for them to do after school instead of getting in trouble.
Well, like you said, it's a lot of babysitting. Well, maybe as a parent, you want to think of it that way.
Yeah.
Dump your kids off and let them watch them.
Yeah, and let them play games and not go get in trouble and stuff. And
yeah,
so I'm excited to see, you know, what else they're going to build out. You know, they have plans to expand and everything. Just, you know, but it's just a cool spot. So
nice.
So, yeah. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which every Friday we cover a case mod or a case build that's been completed in the community, just to show you, you know, what's out there and what's possible, you know, what you can do with PC components. And this week we have another Scratch build. We had a Scratch build last week.
Yep. I think this one takes it up another level.
Yes. This is a custom built, it's called Project Alternate, and it is a custom built desk that somebody built, which if you have to go in and check out the build log.
This guy
built the desk himself. There's so much customization on this. It looks amazing.
There's desk builds, and then there's this. This is like a battle station.
Yeah, it more or less is like a battle station build. Everything is custom made, pretty much. I mean, he made everything from scratch. The entire desk is made from scratch. All of, like, the hard drive cages are made from scratch. Like, everything he made himself.
This guy's he has to have some sort of, I don't know, like, furniture building background or something, because it's, like, epically perfect.
Yeah, I mean, everything on this is just amazing. It's kind of even hard to explain. I would just say, you know, we'll have the link in the show notes, and you should definitely check it out, because this is just an amazing build.
It's not like it's a desk, right? But it's not like in the same. It's not like just a flat top desk with a PC built into it. It's like this whole crazy, like, Batmobile style shape.
Yeah,
I guess kind of. Yeah, it's, check it out, please.
Yeah, this is just awesome. It's just crazy. The amount of detail that went into it is phenomenal.
I like the speakers built into the desk.
He built the speakers into the desk, fan controllers built into the desk, power buttons built into the desk. You know, just so much stuff on this.
And then he not only did it do the desk and everything, but, like, the build itself too is like every little custom touch, like, you know, relabeling things and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it's
awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is one of the best builds I think we've featured in a while.
Yeah.
Just the amount of, you know, detail and everything is just—it's just awesome.
And sometimes these builds, these desk builds, because they have so much space, they kind of get, like, really lost in, like, the componentry, right? Like, it's just cluttered in the desk space.
Yeah,
they still look good, but there's just so much going on. This is so clean.
Yeah, it's one of the cleanest desk builds I've seen too. Yeah. So definitely check it out. Again, probably this is one of my favorite builds that we featured on Case Mod Friday. Yeah. So yeah, it's just it's so hard to even go into detail on trying to explain it. You just have to. This guy has like 30 photos too, of the build. So it is
well documented.
Yeah, and definitely check out the build log to see what he went from, which is basically a bunch of wood, to this amazing, as you say, battle station that's just crazy. Yeah.
Tube reservoirs up there, sweet.
Yeah.
There's just nothing that's not, like, awesome. At first, when I was first glancing at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. But when you really start to look at it, like, I want this so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, this is amazing. I would love to have this sitting, you know, where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely check it out.
Inspiration to game, for sure.
Yes, yes. But we'll move on to news, and compared to last week, there is some good news this week.
Yeah.
A lot of announcements. We are getting close to the holiday season, so we'll have a lot of announcements. So we'll go over a few of those. The first is one of my favorite lines of motherboards. It's finally available. Asus ROG Maximus 8 Impact.
Yeah. Which is their mini ITX.
Yeah, it's their mini ITX for Z170. Since they had the Maximus Impact boards, I love these.
They're good. They're good looking boards.
Not only the good looking boards,
very flushed out.
They give you the power that you want because usually you're limited. When it comes to mini ITX, but with this, you know, they have the power delivery components on its own riser card. I mean,
yeah, I think that's one of the smartest things. What do you think? 2 years ago they started doing that.
Two or three.
That's just it's so obvious, but it's so like brilliant at the same time.
Yeah. Right? So they do that on this board. They have the Supreme FX audio, which is some of the best audio out there.
Yeah.
Everything is packed in on this board. If you want to build an awesome gaming PC that's in the mini ITX form factor, this is one of the best.
This is probably the ultimate for your portable LAN rig.
Yeah.
Like, as far as boards go. Because you can overclock with this thing. I mean, you're going to run into temperature issues sooner. But as far as componentry and power delivery, you can overclock with this the same as you can your full ATX board.
Yeah, so I said I love these boards from Asus. Every generation, it just seems to get even better. And
styling looks good. I like the way the sound card and the riser kind of like they kind of look like, you know, add-in cards. You know.
Yeah, yeah. They've done all of that. Yeah,
it looks really good.
It's just really really great to see Asus do this. I don't know if they have listed a price. Probably not.
I don't think you've got one.
No, there's no price in the press release, but it's just a great board. Something that you can definitely build an awesome system with. I have never reviewed one of these. I should ask them to send me one.
Definitely should, and then yeah, you should give it to me.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I guess that's not gonna happen.
I mean, maybe we'll see if we even get one to review. But yeah, it's just a great board. Okay. If you're looking for something in the mini ITX. That is definitely important to check out for sure.
I bet the price won't be terrible either.
It's not going to be horrible. I would say. No. But also
because smaller form factor, I bet it's right around the $200 mark. You think?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But also talking about Asus, they also announced a new gaming laptop, which is the G752. This is made to be a desktop replacement. It is a very large, very very large. Gaming
I think
laptop.
That's even almost an understatement.
Yeah, so this thing is awesome. It is huge. It
desktop
it,
replacement.
Yeah, desktop for replacement. Sure. Features Core i7 Skylake processor, NVIDIA GeForce GTX 980M, up to 64 gigabytes of DDR4. I mean, this is a powerful machine. But they've made it. It has their new it's like an ROG exclusive mobile 3D vapor chamber thermal system to keep everything nice and cool inside. That's one thing that they worked on with this. You know, if you're looking for a gaming laptop that's going to be super powerful, but at the same time, you know, mobile enough.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep everything cool. It's going to play all your latest games, you know.
Oh, yeah. This will probably run better than my current rig.
Yeah, it has a gaming style keyboard on there, too.
What did they say? How long is the travel on the keys? They said it 2.5 millimeter. That's pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's just a great. I don't have a price on this either because it was just announced. But
4,000, I would guess.
I mean, it's. I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
That much, but it's pretty.
3 to 4. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's pretty up there. But again, this is gonna be a desktop replacement. It looks amazing.
The fins in the back look sick.
Yeah, everything about this, definitely check it out. We have some pretty cool photos of it in our post. Just great. I really want one of these. Yeah.
I'd want one. I probably would never use it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know who you are if you want this.
Yeah, totally. So we will move from there to
some
Apple.
Some less powerful stuff.
So Apple, they released their brand new iMacs this week. Big news is that they both have the new Retina displays. So for the first time, the 21.5-inch iMac will have a 4K display.
That's pretty intense.
And every 27-inch iMac will now have a 5K display.
Is it just me, or is that the first time I've heard the 5K branding?
No, we've seen a few.
I've seen 8K, but...
No, I've seen the 5K okay. before.
What resolution are they claiming with that?
I'd have to look.
Okay.
I can tell you, actually.
Oh, wait, here it is. It's in it.
Yeah.
Wait. It is... Oh, no, it's got the 4K resolution.
Because
it's totally relevant to anything other than my own curiosity.
5120 by 2880.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the 5 that they're... Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, they just released these, and they announced their new accessories also, which we didn't really cover, but they announced that as well. So, for iMac fans, this is pretty good. You know, the thing about iMacs is that they're really used for design. A lot of design work is done on iMacs. If you haven't seen these, they're so thin and they're very powerful as well.
Let's not get carried away. They're powerful enough.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to do what they're made to do, as far as video editing and as far as music editing and things that they're actually used for. I live right by CMU, and their design lab, which I go in from time to time, has a bunch of these.
Okay.
And they're just sexy. I mean, if you just look at them, you can't deny that, and you can't deny...
Well, the displays are gorgeous. I actually am not in love with the overall design, but the displays are gorgeous.
Yeah, the displays are just...
They always have been, too.
Yeah, they always have been, and if you've ever even... I know people that have PCs that use Mac displays just because they're so good.
Essentially, what I'm using right now is a Mac display.
Yeah. They're just really, really great. So, you have 4K and 5K displays now from Apple. So if you are an Apple fan, you can pick one up. And we actually went in and we maxed an iMac out to see how much it would cost. So the 27-inch iMac starts at $1,799, which is a 3.2 gigahertz Core i5 AMD Radeon R9 M380. That is the 5K display, 8 gigabytes of DDR3, 1 terabyte SATA, and the new Magic Mouse 2.
I feel like you wouldn't want that, though, with that display.
No.
It seems like it'd be a little slow.
Yeah, so...
What would we want?
We decided to max it out. So the maxed out settings, 4 gigahertz, quad-core Intel i7, AMD R9 395X. Obviously the 5K display, 32 gigabytes of DDR3, 1 terabyte of flash storage, so like an SSD, and the new Magic Mouse Plus Magic Trackpad 2, and that comes out to $4,228, which is, if I had that amount of money to spend on a computer, it would not be an iMac.
No. Yeah. You couldn't, you would struggle to spend that on I guess once you got into like X99, you could do it.
Got an X99, and the thing is, too, I mean, this is the display, too, so I have to go out and buy a 27-inch or higher display. I'd probably buy a 30-inch curved something.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had a 30-inch curved screen plus, a pretty insane system, I'm still looking at around 3 to 4, I would say.
Yeah, you could spend that display included, because what do you think? You'd get it. You'd be up over $1,000 on the display, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you could easily spend $3,000.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. You have to think about it that way. I just think that's for the.
I think you're gonna have a faster machine though if you build it yourself.
Oh yeah, specs wise, that's way too much money to spend for this. But at the same time, a lot of people don't realize, and I'm not trying to be like a Mac fanboy because I'm really not at all. is that the reason why Apple gets away with this is because the software is built for the hardware.
I was gonna say that. Yep. Yeah,
that is why. That's why
you can't really directly compare PC to Mac system specs.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like one of my good friends who's a PC person, has always been a PC person. He said the best decision he ever made was getting a MacBook because it's never slow. He's like, it's never slow. I don't have issues.
Yeah.
And this is someone who's completely PC person. He goes, but, for when I'm traveling, and I want, you know, something fast that if I have like 20 tabs open, it's not going to be slow and anything like that. He goes, but he's like, best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. I just think that's funny. Like 20 tabs open. Cause I just picture like the average Mac user definitely has like 20 tabs open all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just,
cause that's what they're designed for. People that just don't know.
Yeah. So it's interesting, but those are the
new, well, that's why these are great for design and stuff too, because those programs are extremely optimized to run this, and it just it works flawless for them. Like almost all of, I shouldn't say almost all, but a lot of the content you view, anything media content, is going to be done on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just because.
For sure. So we'll move on from Apple and over to Toshiba, which we have another product announcement, which the only reason I want to cover it is because it is the world's thinnest and lightest 12-inch Windows tablet.
Yeah.
It's called the Dynapad, which actually looks really, really nice.
I agree. I was surprised.
Yeah, so this is the Dynapad. It's a Windows 10 convertible notebook. As I said, it is the, according to Toshiba, it is the world's thinnest and lightest 12-inch tablet. So we did see the Surface Book last week. And this is sort of kind of like the same thing. But yeah, it's just so nice looking. It comes with a pen. I think that's a big thing we're seeing these days.
Yeah.
All these are coming with a new pen and all that kind of stuff.
I need to try one.
Yeah, because I think you can be productive, especially how Windows 10 is more optimized for a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
You know, like even when I installed, you know, I upgraded from Windows 8 to Windows 10 on my laptop. My laptop seems to run faster now.
Really?
You know, I don't see the slowdowns and things like that.
Okay.
You know.
Because I'm a slow, like, when I try, if I try to take notes, well, like, typing on, like, a laptop or something, I'm a little slow at it.
Yeah.
I would like to try the pen, see, like, does it truly keep up if I'm, like, I'm writing on paper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, they all do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a worthwhile investment then, I think.
Yeah, so it's just a really cool looking device. Again, I would love to try these. I'm sure we'll see all this stuff at CES. We can definitely give it a try and see what it's about.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to see a lot of these at CES, actually, coming up. So,
and it's got a good display in it, 1920 by 1280.
Yeah, good display. Cool little device. I think we're going to see a lot of these devices that are made for, just like you said, like note-taking, you know, for students.
And professional use as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think, I feel that it looks, especially the last shot, sort of similar to an iDevice, maybe?
A little bit.
It's hard to not, I guess, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it is hard to not do that, so... But yeah, that is what's coming
from... Good for Toshiba, because
Yeah, they're kind of off
the map. I don't want to hate on them, but I've never really liked their designs.
They were kind of off the map for me. And then I saw that, and it is a really good-looking device. So I think we're seeing a lot of companies, you know, they have to put the time into the design of the product because, sadly enough, it doesn't matter what the specs are. People want something that's going to look nice.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so we're seeing that.
I saw one of their laptops the other day, too, because I was kind of browsing and looking at some. And I was like, this actually looks good, but I still didn't want to look at it because it was a Toshiba.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Like, this looks way better, but... I'm going to keep walking.
Yeah, so we'll talk about our friends over at Zotac.
And this is interesting.
They have entered the solid-state drive market, which makes a lot of sense for anybody to do because it is a huge market. You know, this also allows them to get better prices, I would say, for their what is it? Their Z boxes that use SSDs. They can use their own now. So they're going to get
bulk price, like cheaper bulk pricing on all their components and stuff.
Yeah. So they announced their premium series solid state drives. These are Phison based SSDs. I didn't really like look, you know, but it says Phison quad core controller, so I'm assuming it's the S10.
Yeah.
Which we reviewed a bunch of drives based on the S10. Only 200, 240, and 480 right now.
Yeah.
Seems
like that's about average when companies are just starting.
Yes, because they don't want to do the whole rollout yet. This could be a trial thing. You know,
what do you think's building this for them?
I mean, it's I don't know.
Yeah, it's because it's got to be built out of house.
Almost all of them are.
Yeah.
So. But it is based on the Phison. I'm assuming it's the S10. quad-core controller. 3-year warranty, just like most of these SSDs. These are not the crazy high-end SSD. This is just a basic SSD. We've seen a bunch of these already.
So tech usually has decent pricing, too. So
yeah, so we'll see when these are available, how much they're going to cost and all of that. Yeah. But
these guys are doing good. It's good to see.
Yes. So now we'll move on to Lee and Lee. It's like all announcements this week, I feel.
Yeah, that's cool.
Lee and Lee.
I like new stuff.
Yeah, Lee and Lee announced a new case, the PC-18.
These guys are on a roll, too.
Yeah, which I really like this case. It kind of reminiscent of older Lee and Lee cases.
It is old school enough.
Yeah, which I like. So this is a mid-tower case available in silver and black, which is typical for Lee and Lee. It looks like a mid-tower, which I like.
Brushed aluminum interior.
Yeah, so it's
Is it aluminum? It's got it. I assumed it was because Lee and Lee builds everything out of aluminum, but
I'm not exactly sure.
It looks like it.
Yeah, the front might be the inside might be steel though.
Price wise, I wouldn't say it is, but
yeah, this case is only $150, but it's a really cool case. It's just that older Lee and Lee style, which I like.
It's like not concerned about the way it looks inside.
Yes,
which I think is great.
Yeah. I think that this is a builder's case. I really like it. Definitely check out the photos if you guys, everybody listening, you go ahead and check out the photos on the post. You'll see what we're talking about. But yeah, it's just a good overall case. I just like the older Lee and Lee style, and I think this kind of fits that.
Yeah. I'm curious how the bracket... Oh, it looks like it's thumb screws, so...
Yeah, you can take the bracket out.
Oh, it swings to the right then?
Yes.
Swivel there, right? Okay, this is like a 3-fan bracket for everybody listening that has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The interior has this 3-fan bracket which you can mount a radiator to, or just like 3 fans for cooling, that comes in from the side of the case, and it's I guess they're, what would you say, they're parallel with the side panel, and this whole bracket kind of swings out. So
yeah, and you can kind of neat. You can take it off too,
right? If you're not going to use that.
Yeah,
but I think you would, but. I guess it's up to everyone.
Yeah, it's really up to if you want to use it. But yeah, that's one of the cool things about the case. Again, it just has that older Lee and Lee style, which if you're a fan of, this might be a case you might want to take a look at.
Yeah.
For sure. So yeah, it's only $150, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's got to be one of their cheapest cases.
Yeah. So another announcement, which is actually pretty cool. I feel this is actually pretty cool because I think that this was never needed. But at the same time, it's good to see them do it because people want to water-cool everything these days.
Yeah, this makes me think of the water-cooled hard drives.
Yeah, like. So EK released a full-coverage water block for Intel's 750 series PCI Express solid-state drives, which, I, to my knowledge, don't get that hot. And they have their own cooling on them. They have a heatsink on them.
Yeah,
it's but
probably
just
unnecessary, but that's what water cooling is.
Yeah, but that's cool. I think it's cool that they did this. I think that they might have had some requests, and they just decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a full coverage water block that goes on top of the SSD.
Yeah,
and this is a PCI Express SSD, which is it's very, very popular SSD.
Yeah, that we got to be clear about. This is not for your... what size form factor are the
2.5 inch
yeah
this is for
this
PC
is not that
Express.
This is the PC Express.
Yeah, so just cool to see EK do this. I forget the price on this. $89.90, and that's in so it'd probably be around the same price, like around $80-$90 US. So yeah, it's just cool to see them do this. I'm sure they got requests for it. That's probably why it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the idea of like, well, you can, you know, you got your water, your GPU is water cooled, right? And this is just right in line with them. But like, it's a different design though than any of their water blocks for GPUs. So,
well, it's made to look like,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's made for Intel. That's why it looks like that.
I would rather see one. I mean, this is cool. But I'd like to see one that matches their GPU blocks. So
yeah, maybe this is like, this could be just a trial too, to see if it sells. And maybe they'll come out with more design. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's
got to
be expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's just cool to see them do it. I like this stuff. It just means that water cooling and things like that is just getting more and more popular.
Alive and well.
Yes. So we'll move on to gaming, and the latest GeForce Experience software suite has added 5 new things, which is great, which I feel that, again, you know, we always talk about AMD and NVIDIA and going back and forth, and I really like that, one, the GeForce Experience has been something that NVIDIA has been working on for a while, and I really like that they're just adding more things, and adding more things for gamers specifically. So all of these new features are for gamers. So we'll go over them really quick, and these should be the latest drivers. So if you go in GeForce Experience and go to the update and get the latest version, you should see all of these features if you're, of course, running a GeForce-based card. So the first is a new in-game overlay. So it's much like the overlay you would see from Steam. And this overlay will give you access to streaming, recording, broadcasting, instant replay. You can, you know, set up your microphone and camera and all that kind of stuff. So it's just an overlay that goes over your game, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. It's just useful because you don't have to tab out.
Yeah, you don't have to tab out and change anything. It's just all in the game, which makes it easy. And talking about that, the broadcast feature, which will pop up when you do that, this new broadcast feature, which you can go to the settings and obviously set up, you can instantly stream to Twitch and YouTube at 1080p, 60 frames a second. Very easy to do. So you can go ahead and do that. So both Twitch and YouTube.
Nice to have that built into your driver, essentially.
Yeah, it's built into the driver, so you don't have to worry about other software, casting software, anything like that.
I think it's more efficient because it's going to be integrated at the driver level.
I think it will be. It just makes sense for it to, you know, for it to be like that.
Yeah.
So you have that, and then I don't know if we covered it, but I know I saw it a couple weeks ago. They talked about the new game stream co-op,
which is sweet,
which is pretty cool. So what it does is it allows you like a friend to actually take go ahead.
They're like remote desktop.
Yeah, basically. That allows somebody who is your friend to go in, and I don't know if I would assume they need to have a GeForce card. Like that would, like they need to have.
I think so, but the way they make it sound is you both have to have a 7 meg connection, right?
Yeah.
And they go through a web browser.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you're still rendering it off of your PC.
Yes.
And then they're just controlling it through over the internet.
Yeah, so what this is, it's called Game Stream Co-op, and what it allows you to do is that it allows you to, you know, have your friend take over your game. So say I'm stuck somewhere, I'm like, oh, Derek, I can't beat this level.
Which happens for Bob all the time.
Oh, totally.
I have to save him just left and right.
Anyways, if you, I'm like, oh, Derek, I'm stuck, I can't. He's like, oh, dude, I beat that level last night. So I'm like, okay, I'll load up GameStream Co-op. He can open his browser to, I guess, that gives you a page or whatever it is. And he can go in and he can take over my game and beat the part that I can't beat. It's something really cool. Again, it does require a 7 meg connection on each end. But it's something cool. Standard. And I think this is going to be, you know, we'll see a lot of this kind of stuff come out. So,
It feels like the future is here.
Yeah, so that's really, really cool. Again, it's just great to see these features from NVIDIA. They don't have to do any of this. This is not, you know, they sell graphics cards. This is not something that they need to do, and it's great to see them do it.
No. And they definitely don't need to do, like, much of anything, because AMD is hurting.
Yeah.
So they can do it pretty much whatever they want. Now, browsing around the internet, I came across a few things with this newest GeForce Experience. First of all, it's going to be a mandatory install, starting with, I think, I don't remember exactly which driver it's going to be, and you can only get up-to-date drivers if you use the GeForce Experience.
Otherwise,
you have to wait every 3 months to get a new driver.
I thought it was every month.
It's every 3 months to do it without the GeForce Experience.
Are you sure?
That's what I was reading.
I heard it was every month because I read the 6x.
That'd be like normal then.
Yeah, because I think they said. Well, let's go over the last part of these features and then we'll talk about that.
Sure.
So,
I thought we were done. My bad.
No, it's okay.
Idiot.
So they also have in-home game stream, which will allow you to stream your game through TV. Yeah. So now they've had that for a while, and now it allows you to stream at 4K at 60 frames a second with 5.1 audio.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, so you can
do that. This is so cool, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's good because you know, again, we're getting into that, oh, I want to play it on the big screen, you know, like I want to play it in my living room. And with this, you can still have your, you don't need a Steam machine or anything like that. You know, you just need a compatible device connected to your TV, which would be like the, what's the NVIDIA Shield?
Yeah.
Shield device, which is a couple $100, I think. And you can have the horsepower of your PC, but you can stream it to that device and play it on their big screen, which is awesome.
Or how about this? Say you got a whole bunch of gamer friends over and you're all, you know, playing on various things. But like one of your friends is doing something crazy, just throw it on the screen and everybody can watch instead of having to like crowd around his monitor.
Yeah, totally.
Like stuff like that.
So you have that. And then finally, you have instant replay, which will allow you to play back a defined period that you set as video. So you have that as well. So you, just cool things that they've added. But what you were talking about as far as the...
getting locked into it.
Yeah, like getting locked into it. So it seems to be that NVIDIA will be rolling out driver updates weekly around that time.
Okay.
And that the only way to get those like game-ready drivers and all that kind of stuff will be through the GeForce Experience, which to me makes sense. They want everybody on GeForce Experience. That's what they want.
Yeah. But there are those of us that we don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
That's why we PC.
So
part of why we PC.
And from what I read, or at least I thought I read, was that actually I could probably bring it up.
You can still get driver updates.
Yeah.
At first I was thinking you couldn't even get driver updates. But you can. It's at least every 3 months, which actually it might sound like a big deal, but it's really not. Because everything's still gonna play. Maybe when the latest game comes out, you're not going to be as optimized for it for a little while.
Yeah.
But I've never had one where the game didn't play. Have you?
No.
Never had that.
You know, the thing about this is I think they want people on GeForce Experience. I think that it's a more streamlined process too. So this would help with, you know, customer service and all of that. You know,
gives them a bit more control over the product.
Yeah, because all they have to do is say open GeForce Experience and then it will just update the driver. It does the install for you. You don't have to download it. Like, you know, it does it all. It's a streamlined process, and I think they want to get more people on that. That's the reason they're doing this.
I would guess, too, it does some sort of logging, and if you do have an issue, you can allow them to, like, see what's going on more.
Yeah.
I would just guess. That's usually the way these things are built.
Yeah, so they'll be doing that, which I guess I like. I think it just makes more sense.
We're just those of us that have been around too long. We like things the way they have been. You know, older people things. But it's just the new way of doing things, and it's fine. It's great, actually.
Yeah, and I think that if you haven't used GeForce Experience, I haven't used it extensively. I have it on the computer that we're using right now.
Okay.
And I do the driver updates just like that. Like, it just instantly does it.
Do it without asking?
No.
Okay, that's important to me.
You have to do it yourself. At least I have it set up that way on mine. You might have the option to say auto update when there's a new one.
Yeah.
But you go in there and it will tell you if there's a new update available and you can go ahead and do it. But there's a lot of other cool things that are in the GeForce Experience. You know, you can set different settings for different games. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gaming a lot and you want the most optimized settings for your games, and you can do a lot of stuff in the GeForce Experience, I would definitely check it out. It's a great piece of software that definitely kicks AMD's ass at, you know, adding features for gamers and things like that.
At everything it does, essentially.
Yeah. So definitely. I mean, if you have a GeForce card, there's no reason you shouldn't be using GeForce Experience.
Speaking of about AMD, or well, not really AMD, but graphics cards, etc. Did you see that AMD is starting to sell off part of itself, essentially?
Yeah.
They've combined and formed a new entity.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Something that I'm sure we'll hear more and bigger news on later on.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. There's some stuff going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about another thing that made the internet go crazy this week.
Love this stuff.
So, there was a new Dota 2 update, which is now not really news. But in the Dota 2 update, there was a new text file called hl3.txt. And the text file made mention of zip line, squads, citizens, NPCs, and VR. When this was discovered, the internet went crazy and thought that it was a clue to Half-Life 3. And why would that be in Dota 2? Because Valve makes Dota. And Valve obviously makes Half-Life. So Half-Life 3 has been... everybody has wanted Half-Life 3.
How many years has it been now?
A long time.
A long time.
So, you know, we're not really sure. We haven't heard anything since that. It could have been a clue saying it might be coming. You know.
Yeah. How fun would it be to be at Valve and, like...
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants this game so bad, and, like... The thing you just gotta decide whether to make it or not.
The thing is the Half-Life games were amazing. For first play, or for you know, not multiplayer games, the story was good. Yeah. I felt like I was like on an adventure when I was playing it, which is something that is very hard to do these days, I think.
Yeah.
I think
they don't even seem to try these days.
The only games, and I don't play a lot of games, so I can't, you know, speak on a lot of games that are out there currently. But the games that really the first person the single player experience, all the Half-Life games, Gears of War games, and Assassin's Creed games are the only games that I really felt that the single player was worth paying the money for. So yeah, I think everybody wants this. This was the you know, the thing is, the Half-Life games are what a lot of people grew up on too, grew up playing it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, internet's going crazy over this. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if this was just a mistake or just has nothing to do with that at all?
They seem to like to tease people too.
Yeah. So it could be. It's interesting that it's in Dota 2, obviously, because that is made from Valve.
Yeah.
You know. Nobody knows. We don't know.
If it was just some guy, like, just in charge of like. Releasing the update in some way, and he's like, oh, I'm just gonna mess with everyone.
Yeah,
or like, just throws the file in
there. There's so many crazy things that could happen with Half-Life 3. They could like not even announce that it's coming out and just be like, oh, Half-Life 3 is out today.
So that would be so epic.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't even know if they're even gonna consider making it or what the deal is. I think that if it was in development, or we would, you know, I think it would, something would leak. I don't know.
Unless they're just like, like, just a couple guys are slowly working on it.
Yeah, who knows what's going on.
But you'd
on.
Think by the time they finished it, that would be outdated, so you don't think they would do that.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with it, but that is another interesting thing that happened this week.
Yeah, for sure.
And finally, our last little bit of gaming news is that we did play Star Wars Battlefronts over the weekend.
Some of us played it. Some of us struggled, right, Bob?
You struggled, not me. I destroyed you, the games we played.
You had, like, fully played it. I had, like, 3 matches in. I got decent at it.
Derek's not very good at games, we know.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
it's not true. Actually, I'm not great at games. I won't even pretend to be, but...
Yeah, so...
I'm not what Bob says I am.
So, we did play it. A lot of people, and even I felt when I was playing it, is there was only 4 guns in the game.
Yeah.
Which isn't a whole lot. So a lot of people went to Twitter and were talking about it, and the game's community manager confirmed that there'll be a heck of a lot more guns in the final release, which is good, because a lot of people thought that the beta was like, okay, this is the finished product. So it's good that there are going to be a lot more guns and a lot of different things that might be added. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that.
That was one side of it that I felt was sort of lacking.
Yeah,
like you had your upgrades and they were like crucial to being able to play it, but I don't know, they were kind of weird upgrades, and I don't know, it was kind of
odd. I got quite good at the game, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I got.
You know, the drop ship or the pod one, I got pretty good at that.
Yeah,
the drop pods. The Walker Assault, I couldn't have been worse.
And the thing about the Walker Assault is, like, if you don't get any of the power-ups, like, you don't get in any of the vehicles or anything, it's kind of hard, you know, especially if you have people. And the thing is like, you know, even the drop pod thing, like, when I was playing with you guys didn't, like, you just wanted to kill people. Like, that's not how you win the match.
Well, yeah, that's because we had only played it very little.
Yeah, but the thing is like, if you're playing with people, and obviously you're just playing with random people, they don't know what they're doing, they just want to kill people, and it's just like, you know... if you're trying to get a point, like in the Walker Assault.
Yeah, they're objective-based.
Yeah, if you're trying to get a point and none of your team's all scattered and you're not, like, attacking the way you should, you're going to get killed every time and it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're playing with a good team that knows what they're doing and getting the points, then you know, you're not going to have an issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really
felt, to me, it felt really, really, really open, and I just kept getting killed.
Yeah.
From, like, where'd that guy come from? Or, well, terrible spawns, too. But, I mean, it's a beta.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm definitely going to get it. It comes out November 17th, which is about a month from tomorrow. So, I will definitely be getting it. I just love Star Wars, so, I mean, it's, you know.
How can you not?
But, yeah, we had fun playing it. We played I played it for a good while over the weekend, over this past weekend, so.
I played it some more. It was still out Monday. I played it Monday.
Yeah, so that is our news for the week. So good news this week. A lot of announcements. I think we're going to see a lot of announcements over the next couple months just because we're getting closer to holiday season, and that's when a lot of stuff is coming out. But we'll talk about what we have coming next week as far as reviews go. So I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler from Noctua. It is their NHC14S, which is the kind of revised version of the NHC14, which we already taken a look at. Okay. This is their C-type CPU cooler.
Seems like you've done a lot of these lately.
What?
The C-type.
I've done a few.
Yeah.
So this is their C-type cooler. I love Noctua. They've always done good things with CPU coolers. I don't think I've reviewed a bad CPU cooler from them ever.
They've probably not made a bad one.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to check this out. It's cool because you can mount the fan on the top or the bottom if you want.
That's cool.
Yeah,
so you can make it lower profile if you need to.
Yeah, so if you mount the fan on the bottom, which it comes mounted, actually the cooler comes with the fan mounted on the bottom. Low profile mode, which makes so if you're maybe installing something like a home theater PC or a smaller build, you have room. And then say if you have large memory modules or something like that, you can put the fan on the top, and that is high clearance mode, so you have all that. Okay. So yeah, definitely excited to check that out. I did the unboxing and all of that. I'll be installing it over the weekend. So
nice. I'm
pretty pumped about that. And we have a really cool gaming product from Logitech. I have their G633 Artemis Spectrum 7.1 surround sound gaming headset.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit jealous about this one.
This is a very nice headset. I haven't plugged it in. Again, I did the unboxing the other day. It's a really good headset. I feel that Logitech has really listened to gamers, and I'm pretty sure they have gamers that they're working with on these new products.
And the design.
Yeah, and the thing is I think they kind of got away from esports a little bit over the past couple years, and I think they're coming back into it.
Yeah.
With the G line, they've really branded the G line as their gaming line. Yeah. The Logitech G.
Just going for it and being specific.
Yeah, so this is a great headset. It uses new drivers from Logitech's own in-house driver design. So I'm pretty excited to see how it sounds. 7.1 surround sound, which is great. The headset lights up, which is pretty cool. RGB lighting, so you can kind of make it whatever you want. Has a bunch of buttons on it, so you can kind of program those buttons if you want. Just good.
Sweet, yeah. It's a pretty intimidating looking headset.
Yeah, it's a nice looking headset.
There's a lot to it.
It's dual wired too, so you can have input from USB, say like, you know, obviously USB on your PC, but you can also connect your phone to it as well, or any other audio device. So it's cool because, so say I have my phone here, and I have my phone connected via the regular audio connection. There's a switch on the headset, so if I get a call, I can actually switch it and take my call.
Nice.
And if I don't, you know.
Yeah, so you just have your phone plugged into it and the computer.
Yeah. So if I'm
and then
in
you just intense, switch over to the phone call.
Yeah, if I'm in an intense gaming session, I don't have to take off the headset. I don't have to leave the room. I can do it all right there, which is nice.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so it also comes to software, which we'll be covering as well. So
cool.
Pretty excited for that. And then finally, I have the Skosh GoBat 6000 portable charger. Portable chargers are kind of like a necessity these days, I feel. And this one's a little bit different because this one, instead of you actually having to charge it via a cable, it actually plugs into the wall, which I like. Mm-hmm. And when it plugs into the wall, it's not only charging itself, but you can actually charge devices. You can still connect devices, and it'll be charging those plus charging the charger at the same time.
Nice.
So that is pretty cool. And that basically is what we have coming up next week. Might have some other stuff. It all depends on what we get done, obviously. So I also want to talk about some stuff that we have coming up or what's going on.
Yeah.
First, it is Payday 2 Crime Fest, which is the next 10 days, I believe. So Payday 2 is, I think it's probably our favorite game that we play here, I think, computers. I like to play it. Yeah, you're not really good at it, Derek, but
again, I have about an hour into it.
Yeah, so me, Jack, and
Bob
and
judges Oz, me on my gaming skills based on like nothing.
Payday 2 Crime Fest is this big event that the Payday 2 guys have to lead up to the launch of the original game. So it's a big kind of celebration. There's tons of drops and all different things going on over the next 10 days. So
do they do a conference too? I thought I saw.
I don't know what they do.
Okay.
But I know. I just know that Crime Fest is going on, and that we will be streaming some of it, or I'll be playing for a little bit over the weekend and the next couple of days. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers if you want to check it out. And there's tons of drops, tons of rare drops, and things like that. They're going to be going on. So I'm pretty excited to play and see if I can get some cool new upgrades for my weapons. So have that, and then I also want to talk about our social networks. I didn't really talk about it so much, but we do have an Instagram account, Instagram.com/ThinkComputers, if you want to check out us on Instagram. I know a lot of people do that. And also, I've been kind of experimenting with Periscope, which is just a live streaming type thing.
Yeah.
I did a couple behind the scenes.
Mobile live stream?
Yeah, I did a couple behind the scenes, like when I'm doing unboxing videos and when I'm taking photos, just to kind of, you know, test it out. We had some people in there asking questions and things like that. So the Periscope is ThinkComputers too, you know, all one word. If you want to follow us on Periscope, and, you know, obviously when it comes time to for CES and stuff, we'll be doing a lot of different Periscope type things and all that kind of fun stuff, and obviously Instagram as well. So that is basically it for this week. Did you do anything cool this week at all?
I think so. I reread a book that I've read before called Ready Player One. Many of you, I'm sure, have read this book, but like it's just like an epic gaming book. It's like a post-apocalyptic setting that's, I don't know, like it's based in an online world, I guess, like sort of part of it is. And it's just, if you've never read it and you're a gamer or you like gaming and computers and stuff, it's like, it's just crazy, especially if you're a little bit older, because it's like tons of 80s references and stuff.
That's
cool. Old school gaming. It's not a hard read. And I think I read the thing in like 3 days again. So
okay. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's probably one of my favorite books.
Cool. Besides going to the Cascade concert, I finished the series, which is only 10 episodes. If you have Amazon Prime, they have an Amazon original called Red Oaks. It's really funny. It's about this country club called Red Oaks, and these, you know, kids work there, and it's just work there over the summer. It's really funny. I really liked it. It's cool to see, you know, these shows come out. You know, Netflix has their originals, which have been very, very popular. And Amazon has their originals now too, and it just shows you that, you know, this is where the future is going with these, you know, they don't need the shows from these big networks anymore.
You don't need to be tied to cable or anything like that.
Yeah, so I'm pretty it's a really good show. It's just called Red Oaks. Obviously, we'll link to that in the show notes, so you definitely can check it out. And as always, we'll have everything we talked about in the show notes. All of, you know, all the news, all the reviews, everything that we talked about will be in the show notes. Obviously, you can find us on iTunes. You just type in Think Computers, all one word. We should be the first thing that pops up. We have an RSS feed for the podcast specifically, and we're listed in Android as well. So we have all of that. Anything else you want to mention there, Derek?
Nope.
All right, guys. Well, have an amazing weekend, and we'll catch everybody next week.